Just complete Sefer Bereishis. Curtain rises in Sefer Shmos. And, you know, there are certain things we tend to take for granted because we hear them so many times and they seem so straightforward. Like the first couple of psukim of Sefer Shmos. They're there. Like, you hear them, you know. The beginning of every parasha you hear four times a year. And these psukim seem particularly straightforward, right? What's the first topic in Parashat Shmos? Ve'el Shmos ben Yisrael ba Mitzrayim, right? The Shvatim coming down to Mitzrayim. Yishu beis Obo. Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, etc., etc., etc. And then the Jewish people begin to grow part of Yishu through, etc. And then we hear about the Shibud. And then later in Parashat Shmos we hear about HaKadosh Baruch Hu choosing the leader who will be his Shaliach to drive Gulas Yisrael. And when we think about Shmos, we tend to think about like the parts that draw our attention, the lightning rods for analysis, are the Shibud, are Shifra and Pua, and what's with Moshe Rabbeinu, and the stories in Midian, and the stories. Could you think for a moment about those psukim that we, if we're honest with ourselves, tend to sometimes ignore? The first couple of psukim. What's really out of place about those psukim? Radically out of place. Huh? Says Yosef died again. Good, good, good. Keep going. Eishmos ben Yisrael ba Mitzrayim, Eis Yaakov Ishu ve'Sobo. Yaakov and his family come down to Mitzrayim. We list the Shvatim. He called Nefesh Yotze Yerach Yaakov Shivim Nefesh Yosef Hayv Mitzrayim. Vayamas Yosef Echol Achav V'Chol Hadorahu. First six psukim of Shmos. We heard about Yosef dying. What else?
This all happened already.
This should sound familiar. Like Shivim Nefesh. Like, not only have we heard the names of the Shvatim numerous times in the course of Sefer Bereishis, but specifically, we already heard this is describing an episode. This is describing an event. The event that's being described is the descent of Yaakov and his family to Mitzrayim. We heard about this in which parasha? Parashas? Vayigash. Nayim and Vayichi. We heard about this in Vayigash 2 weeks ago. In the middle of Vayigash, at the beginning of Vayigash is the final, the denouement. Everything, the drama comes to a climax, and then Yosef reveals himself. The tension is relieved, more or less, discussed a little bit over the course of Shabbos. And then over the course of Vayigash, the brothers go back and they bring Yaakov, they bring the whole family down to Mitzrayim. And that happened when Yosef was in the neighborhood of 40 years old, give or take. Right? Because Yosef was 30 when he appears before Paro, then the 7 years of Rav, and then the beginning of the years of, excuse me, 7 years of Sava, beginning of the 7 years of Rav, and Yosef, Yaakov and his family come down. So Yosef is around 40 years old when that event occurs. How many? The very last event in Chumash Bereishis was Yosef dying at the age of 110. Right. So from Yosef being 110 and passing away, the Chumash then going from the end of Bereishis, beginning of Shmos, jumps backwards around 70 years back very briefly. Just for a few psukim, to that event 7 decades earlier when they had come down to Mitzrayim. Chumash chazes it over in the most summary of terms. And then we move on to the story of the Shibud. Ma, Pesha Advam. We know already. The Torah told us that they had come down. What's being added? It doesn't seem like there's anything being added. It seems like this is a very brief summary what had been told in great detail earlier. So, what's going on? Ramban wonders, one second. What's with the first couple of psukim in Sefer Shmos? What's with the first couple of psukim in Sefer Shmos? And then there's a parallel question, but a much vaster scale, is what's with the second half, the latter half of Sefer Shmos? It does, what's Sefer Shmos all about? Which is the type of question the Ramban trains us to look at. Ramban is the first Mefarish, one of the first major famous to us Mefarish, who writes not only a line by line, pasuk by pasuk, perish, but also consistently gives us hakdamas to the svar. And he consistently works with the themes he develops in the hakdamas throughout the psukim. And it already gives you a hint that the Ramban is going to be looking both at the trees and at the forest. He's going to be zoomed in. He's also going to be looking at the global picture. What's Bereishis about? What's Vayikra about? What's Shmos about? So the Ramban says, one second, what's Shmos about? Right? Gullus. So you say, one second. So how? Where does Shmos? where Shishmos end, or where does Gula end? Rabban says, well, it's Golos, Mitzrayim. They begin to see the process of Gula at the end of Shmos, into Va'ira, and Bo, Yitzias Mitzrayim. Maybe you want to tell me, B'shalach is the Kriyas Yamsuf of the Gemar Ha, Gemar Yitzias Mitzrayim. That's when they know that it's no longer temporary. The elimination of Egyptian military might means that the Yitzias Mitzrayim is not permanent. Maybe that's why the seventh day of Pesach is part of the same Yontif as the first day of Pesach. You even want to tell me that the Matan Torah was the purpose, what was the goal of Yitzias Mitzrayim, famous Ramban in Parshas Emor, who talks about Sfiras Omer as being sort of like a macro Chol HaMoed connecting Pesach and Shavuos into one big Yontif, in a certain sense, roughly a week of Pesach, roughly 6 more weeks of Sfiras Omer, lean up to Shavuos, parallels a day of Sukkot, Yontif Sukkot, 6 days of Chol HaMoed leading up to Shemini Atzeres. Okay, so in a certain sense, Pesach and Shavuos hang together because the telos, the purpose of Yetzias Mitzrayim, was not merely political freedom, but was Cheros al Haluchos, was the purpose of the political freedom of Yetzias Mitzrayim was to enable us to achieve Matan Torah. Okay, so I understand. Shmos, Va'era, Bo, B'Shalach, Yisro, Mishpatim, together are Matan Torah. And we could have stopped right there. Shumatasava, Yakol Pikudei, Mishkam. That's not part of this. That's part of Vayikra, if anything. Okay, where the Rambam opens, two out of the 14 Svarim of the Mishnah Torah are about Kachim. Sefer Avodah and Sefer Kabbanah. Sefer Avodah begins with Beis HaBechira and Klei HaMikdash Ha'ovdenbo. In other words, Truma Tetzav V'Yakul Pikudei. How you build the Beis HaMikdash and Kalim and the Big Day Kahuna. And it's a very logical way to arrange things. You start with the Beis HaMikdash and with the Kohanim and the Big Day Kahuna, and then you can move on. How you bring karbanos, how you don't bring karbanos, ma'aser karbanos, yisur mizbeach, to me, musaf, and so on and so on. Very logical way to build it. In other words, this third sefer should have been called not sefer vayikra, but sefer truma. You would expect the sefer shmos, galus v'gula, ends by mishpatim. You have the galus mitzrayim, and you have the yitzias mitzrayim with the kriyas yamsu, with matan Torah, done! And then the third sefer, Torah's kohanim, should have started from truma tetzava v'yakul pikudei v'yikra tzav shmini. The way the Rambam organizes it. So we don't understand the first few psukim. We don't understand the second half of Sefer Shmos. It starts, so to speak, a little too early, and it ends, seems like an incredible overrun. So what's HaKadosh Baruch Hu telling us? Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu choose, it's a funny thing to say, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu organize the Chumash the Rambam did? That's a little anachronistic, to put it mildly. But what is the Svara? What's HaKadosh Baruch Hu telling us? Rambam says something fascinating. He says that Geula doesn't just mean I'm in a better spot than I was. That might be Yeshua, perhaps. That's a conversation for a different time. So the Geula means return to the ideal state. And that's what you see at the end of Chumash Vayikra, to a Geula's Batim and a Geula's Karkos. It was a Stei Achuza, the natural, the ideal state of the land, of Eretz Yisrael, that's been held by its proper Shevet. So to be goel afield, to goel afield, Mashiach is coming to the field, be goel afield means to return it to its ideal, original state. So the Ramban says that that's what's going on here as well. The geula means that the Kal Yisrael will return to the original state. So that's why you need to, you can't just tell me they were in Mitzrayim and then they left. They're in Mitzrayim and then they got the Torah. You have to back up a little. You can't just go, here we are in Gaul, so then it gets better. We have to very briefly as we can, back up to the original ideal state. The Avos in Eretz Yisrael. So the Torah Mamish gives us this bare minimum. Yaakov, Banav are coming down to Mitzrayim. Now they're leaving Eretz Yisrael. So you start at the top, and there's a very quick descent. The descent into Gaulus, the descent into physical, political, personal shibud and pain. And Rabban says it's more than that. It's that, and it's also it's the loss of what he refers to. I believe it's a pasuk in Yud that's called Soda Loka Le'Aleim. That the Avos in Eretz Yisrael had a Hashras Hashchina in their homes, and then we watch them rapidly descend, and then we see the build back. And the build back is first HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us political freedom. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives, and then that's in Parshas Bo, and that's locked in Parshas Peshach. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us the Torah in Yisro and in Mishpatim. And then Rabban says we've made a lot of progress, but we're still not there. It's going to be a geula is going to be when you return to the original state of soda loka aleha aleihim. So you watch Kali Yisrael. This is Rabban l'shitaso. Conversation maybe more expansively for a different time. Rabban l'shitaso, based on the way he his more narrow application of the principle of the Gemara as Nimsachim, the Emukdam Uchar Batorah, unlike Rashi, Rabban thinks that it applies very sparingly. Rabban thinks that typically events in Chumash are presented in chronological order, which means that Truma Tetzaveh happened before the Egel, before Kisisa. Unlike Rashi, who understood that the whole Tzivui to make a Mishkan, which appears in Truma Tetzaveh, was a response to the Chet Egel, Rabban said, no, they don't actually get to build it until Vayakol Pikud. Moshe never gets to tell them about it until finally the whole episode, that whole sorry episode, is over, and Kadosh Baruch Hu gives a second chance with a second set of luchos. But the original tzivoy from Kadosh Baruch Hu to Moshe Rabbeinu was Truma Tetzaveh before Kisisa. In other words, Rabban says Mishkan is not merely a fix for a problem. It's not merely a response to Chet. Mishkan is a response not to Kisisa, but it's a continuation of Yisro Mishpatim. The Mishkan is an ideal. It's a way of making the Yisro Mishpatim, Har Sinai, Mamad Har Sinai was an incredibly intense encounter with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Incredibly intense, but totally ephemeral. It was super intense, but then it was all over. And B'mishokhayo Veil Hemi Yal Bahar. Once Mamad Har Sinai was over, there was no Kedusha whatsoever left on the mountain. Kadosh Baruch Hu says that type of intensity is not long-term sustainable. But you are going to have a sustainable type of Sinai situation. There's going to be an ongoing Ashras Hashchina, and that was the primary purpose for the Ramban of the Mishkan. Once you have a place dedicated to Ashras Hashchina, so what better place to bring Kabbanos than there? But Mishkan is not for the Ramban, unlike Rashi, and the Ramban perhaps, take a look at the opening lines of Sefer Avodah, the Ramban maybe is combining both Rashi and Rambam. For the Ramban, it's not primarily about Karbanos. The Mishkan is v'shachanti b'sochan. It's a Mishkan. It's a place of Shechina. Also, the Mishkan v'shachanti b'sochan. It was meant to be a hemshech, less intense but far more sustainable, a permanent hemshech of Har Sinai. So that tzivui is given from the outset during the first 40 days on Har Sinai. Sadly, tragically, Shivas Rabbatamas, instead of being a joyous day of Matan Torah when Moshe Rabbeinu was supposed to come down and give the Luchas to Klal Yisrael and begin teaching Torah to Klal Yisrael, we end up with Plan B, and that gets delayed until Yom Kippur becomes a day of Kabbalah Satorah when Moshe Rabbeinu finally comes down and begins to teach. And Vayakal tells the Jewish people we're going to build the Mishkan, and then they work and they collect donations and they build. And finally, Rabban says, Chumash Mos ends, as we would expect, exactly where it's supposed to end. Because towards the end of Chumash Mos in Parshas Pikudei, we're watching Kalal Yisrael build this part and that part, and various components are coming together, using all the Lamatas Malachas to make. We talk about it, of course, for Friday night. All the Lamatas Malachas, are, plus various other skills and as well, are being employed to put the pizza, to create the parts. Then we watch Moshe Rabbeinu put all the pieces together. And we're still not done. The very last, the last passage before Maftir is Vayechal Moshe es HaMalacha. Moshe finally pulls all the Malacha, all the work that went into all the components, is finally pulled together, and it is an architecturally complete Mishkan. But we're not done yet. The last couple of psukim are that the Mishkan, in the Ramban's language, actually works. We did our part. We created a physical Mishkan. We created walls, we created roofs, we created kelim, and then the last step is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Takam Mashu Shechinoso. Echase Anon is Olam Moed. The Maftir of Pikudei, the last four psukim in Parsha Shmos, and it's so intense, so Yachal Moshe Lavo Olam Moed. V'heilo Se Anon, and Loi, sorry, the last five psukim. Ki Anan Hashem Ala Mishkan Yomam Ve'esh Ti Alay Labo Le'nei Kol Beis Yisrael B'chol Ma'asehem. The last pasuk is exactly where we would expect that Shmos ought to end. You finally see that the Mishkan, they built the Mishkan and it worked. And the Shekhinah moved in. And it wasn't just a one-time Hashra, Hashekhinah, the way you had Har Sinai. But no, This is going to be a Kadosh Baruch Hu setting up a permanent workable system that's going to accompany them. This is going to be Anon, and this is going to be Eish. And Leine calls all of Klai Yisrael experiences, L'bechol Masehem, wherever they're going to go, this is going to go with them. Now the Rabban says, that's exactly where you would expect the Shmos actually ends. Because we had started in those first couple of what were initially very puzzling, seemingly redundant psukim, the Torah backed up to show us the high point. Others had been in Eretz Yisrael, they had Sodo Kalelim, and then things, they went down to Mitzrayim, they went down and down, physically down and spiritually down, politically down, and then we watched them build back up to Yitzias Mitzrayim and to Kriyas Yamsuf and to Marban Har Sinai, and finally they build a Mishkan, and once again, Chazar Lamalos Ha'avos. They've returned to that Madrega of Soda Loka Aleyalein, and at that point, the Sefer of Galus and Gula is completed. Exactly, it starts exactly and ends exactly. We're not at all surprised that HaKadosh Baruch Hu built it exactly the way it ought to be. And now, we appreciate why that's exactly the way it's supposed to be. For the mathematicians, this is the divine cosine. That shape. The Chumash backs up and moves forward to show not just there was a Tsar and there was a Yeshua. There are plenty of stories of Tsar and Yeshua in Tanakh. There are plenty of stories of Tsar and Yeshua in life. But this is more than not only Tsar and Yeshua, this is Galus and Geula. Geula means not only the Tsar is over, but Chazar Lamal Sa'avos. That's the overall trajectory of Sefer Shmos. That's the big picture. And Rabban says then all the pieces fit into place. And all the details, once you appreciate what the theme of the Sefer is and you accurately define your terms, and you're looking, as Ramban trains us to do, with a careful eye at the big picture, things begin to fall into place. So Sefer Shmos is really, in a certain sense, a Sefer of trajectory. Bereshit had one trajectory. Sefer Shmos is built around a sense of trajectory, a sense of where am I aiming and where am I going? The very first step, Chal wrote Mesilas Yesharim as a practical handbook to ambitious, methodical growth. Step by step by step, he writes the end of the Hakdama after he defines the terms of Avos Hashem. He says, I'm gonna organize the Sefer, I'm gonna craft the Sefer not by the elements, but instead using a different dimension by the step by step progression, because this is meant to be a practical how to guide. The first step, Zahirus. In Pinchas Ben Yarn of Odazara, Ramchal defines as self-reflection, as taking out time, not only being busy doing, but taking out time periodically to think about what I'm doing, to make thoughtful decisions going forward, to take stock retrospectively, Cheshbon Nefesh, where have I been, what have I done, and the Ramchal says at the very, very beginning, in Kedarko Bakodesh, is the Nesek Lashona of the pairs of terms. So often throughout Mesilas Yesharim, there are pairs of terms that sound more or less synonymous. You gotta zero in to notice what he's adding with each of the two terms. He talks about being mizbonein, reflecting on maisa v'udracha, on your maisim and your drachim, your actions and your paths. What does that mean? So b'char, what he means is one degree of his bonus is on the forest, is on the trees. Another one is on the forest. Meaning, I gotta do his bonus on specific decisions. The specific encounters I had with people, I handled it well, I got irritated, I snapped back, or I was shomer peel or shoni, I was not shomer peel or shoni, there was a particular tzar, b'nam l'chaveh, b'nam l'chaveh, whatever it is, I did it well, I did it poorly, there was an opportunity for a mitzvah, I seized it, I didn't seize it, I sort of seized it, that's his bonus, pikuach al maisim, is looking at the blow by blow, take pride in what I've done well, and to strategize for the things where I didn't perform the way I wish I would have. How am I going to strategize a better technique for next time? That's his bonus on Meisim. But there's also his bonus on Drachim, on your path, which presumably means I can't just look at the details. I have to look at the trees, but also have to look at the forest. I have to, like, as Sefer Shmos trains us in the hands of the Ramban, to be sensitive to thinking about, like, where is this all leading? What's the big picture? And the Meisim have to be focused on the here and now, and I also have to be focused on where am I heading in the long term.